here I am again, a priest, all alone, isolated in a studio. But I do have my favorite agnostic, Miggity Mike. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm feeling good here this morning.
You're okay.
It's a little not as full in the studio today, though.
Without the rabbi.
I know.
This is 2 weeks in a row.
What's going on?
He's not getting paid. He's not getting paid.
Wait, you guys get paid?
No, but just tell him he's not getting paid for this.
Fair enough.
This is 2 weeks in a row. So this is Priest and a Rabbi podcast, and thank you for tuning in. Today we're talking about loneliness and isolation. And if you are new to the podcast, please, we love it when you subscribe, and we love it when you like it, and we love it when you leave comments. Even if you think this is the worst thing since sliced bread, you can still leave a comment and say, you guys stink, get better at what you do. But surprise to you, it actually helps. It boosts us when we get comments. So wherever you're at, and share this with some friends. Today, we do have a wonderful guest, Dr. Kendra Brown, who is a psychologist and an author, and she is going to be talking about with me this epidemic that we have here, particularly with the elderly. But this is loneliness in America is beyond age. 18 through 22 year olds now are actually reporting more loneliness than those over 72. So Dr. Kendra, are you ready for this podcast?
Yes.
Are you ready to just jump in here and talk about some loneliness and isolation?
Yeah, because I have a lot of company. Feels really comfortable.
Well, we're excited for this show, and we're going to get into it. So all you all out there, get ready. And if you want a little tease on Dr. Kendra Brown, her book is called Eavesdropping, As Real Women Talk About the Gifts and Challenges of Aging. A really great show coming up. We're glad you're here. God bless you. Enjoy the show.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the program hosts and their guests and are not necessarily those of WSTU, St. Mary's Episcopal Church, and Temple Beit Haim. Products that may be mentioned are not necessarily intended as an endorsement. Any reproduction or retransmission of this broadcast is strictly prohibited. And now, WSTU presents A Priest and a Rabbi. Call in with questions and comments at 220-9788. 220-WSTU. Now, here's your host.
Good morning, everybody. This is Father Christian Anderson from St. Mary's Episcopal Church here in Stuart, Florida. Normally, I'm here with the best-looking rabbi this side of the Jordan River, but he has to go and take care of family. And because family is our first ministry, as we all know. So it is just me holding it down, but I'm going to have an awesome guest that I'll be bringing on soon, Dr. Kendra Brown. But we are excited today to be getting into a big topic that doesn't get actually talked about enough and a lot, but the Surgeon General at one point did call it an epidemic, and that is loneliness and isolation. Folks who are in here in Martin County in Southeast Florida, we see this in the context of the elderly and those being alone and what this leads to, the health issues that it causes, but then how as people of faith, how do we respond to this? So call in if this is something that affects you personally. If you have some thoughts and ideas on here, the phone number, of course, is 772-220-9788, 772-220-9788. You can always follow us, too, on our Facebook page, A Priest and a Rabbi Podcast. Go on there, like the page, leave some comments. You can also leave comments on there. We'll bring it on air. But until that time, I'm here with Miggity Mike, your favorite agnostic producer. And Miggity, so what are your thoughts on loneliness, brother?
You know, it's a major thing, and it's something that even as a kid, I remember being scared of growing up and being lonely. I remember distinctly going to a Pizza Hut with my grandmother, and it was one of the ones where you go inside and they had the buffet and everything in there, and sitting and seeing a guy sitting by himself eating. And as a kid, I had the whole, like, a flash of that being me older and not having anybody there and just being by myself eating pizza at a restaurant, and it made me sad, and it stuck with me here, you know, 25, 30 years later.
So that is like a memory that's lodged in your brain somewhere.
Yeah, it's one of those, I don't know why, but it left that impact, and it's always been kind of, I don't know if fear is the right term, but something that I've been aware of, you know.
Sure.
Loneliness and trying to avoid it.
Yeah, I have a fearful dream or vision too, which is it's I'm all by myself and I'm down in this basement, it's flooded. Like the water is flooded and I'm just sitting in this water, and there's no one there and it's dark, and I don't know why the water. So we can parse that.
Psychoanalyze that.
But it is. It's the darkness and being by myself, and there's no one there. And there's just this fearful image that pops in my head. I have no idea where it came from, but it's you know.
Huh.
I'll bring that to my therapist. And we'll work that out. But yeah. So it's definitely, you know, today we're going to be focusing more on the for the elderly, just because that's our expert who's going to be on. She focuses on that in her practice as a therapist, but. But it, you know, it also, did you know this? Between the ages of 18 and 22, there's actually more reported folks who say that they are lonely compared to those over the age of 72. That surprised me.
But I understand, because you, especially now, you don't necessarily have those in-person connections or anything like that. You're playing video games online. You might be home by yourself playing video games. You're chatting with people online. You know, there's people that have hundreds and thousands of Facebook friends, but not those aren't real friends. Those are different. You don't get that same necessarily the same, you know, connections and good feelings you get from it. A lot of people of 18 to 22, you're either going to school all the time or maybe you're going to work and coming home and playing games and just isolating yourself and staying home.
Yeah, and it shows us that our DNA is really, as human beings, we are bred to be in community. And so when we don't do that, and especially in the 21st century now, you're right, because of technology, which sometimes can bring us together, but other times can really kind of create these fictitious relationships, that we're not having those bonding relationships because it's all in a digital format. And now we're seeing what can happen with that. It leads to this loneliness. It can lead to depression. It can lead to sadness. And these physical issues that come up too, which the Surgeon General has talked about. And so the good news is you and I don't have to act like we know a lot about this.
Oh, thank you.
The beauty of the show is, and we already got a caller, is that we have Dr. Kendra Brown in the studio. Dr. Kendra Brown is a psychologist in Stuart, Florida. She was formerly a teacher and a human resources director, and admits that in her heart, she will always be a teacher. Now, she has lectured and taught and written in the fields of psychology, sports enhancement, human resources, and hypnosis. She has an incredible book called Eavesdropping, As Real Women Talk About the Gifts and Challenges of Aging. And she is a very respected psychologist here in Stuart, and I am just honored to have her in the studio with us today. Dr. Kendra Brown, welcome to A Priest and a Rabbi.
Well, thank you very much. It's nice to be here. You guys have really been talking about some of the basic concepts, and I just want to reiterate them. We are talking today about social isolation. Being or feeling disconnected from others. I guess I'd like to make the point here that sometimes we feel isolated and lonely even if we are with others. We'll talk more about that later. But the bottom line is it just doesn't work for us as people. We are herd animals. Instinctively, we realize if we're alone in the jungle, we're in danger. And it was certainly appropriate for you to feel fearful when you saw that man in the restaurant. Fear is the real issue that comes. And along with fear comes anxiety, sadness, depression. I was shocked when I did a little research for the program and found that ARP, the American Association for Retired Persons, discovered that social isolation and loneliness have become major public health issues. They found that among adults ages 45 and older, 1 in 3 people are chronically lonely, not just occasionally lonely, but lonely enough to cause some serious health problems.
So we could just state right off the bat that this is an issue. This is not something that we're just conjecturing, that we're just, and then as a person of faith, I'm just saying, well, this is the reason why people don't come to church. Now, this is a thing. I mean, we have the Surgeon General who's spoken about this, and now you're quoting from AARP. And then from your experience, doctor, in your practice, I'm assuming, and you see a lot of your clients. Can I say clients? Are mostly elderly. You see a lot of this issue, right? People who are suffering from loneliness and social isolation.
Correct. And I want to point out that even though some of these people have partners, they have husbands, wives, partners, that doesn't necessarily mean they don't feel lonely and they don't feel isolated. A typical couple who move here from up north, they leave their former friends and neighbors. They come to perhaps a gated golf and tennis community. They probably start playing golf and tennis. As they get older and their athletic abilities decline, perhaps they don't have those connections. And then they begin to rely more and more on each other. And even if Cinderella finds her perfect prince, it doesn't mean he's going to be around forever. It doesn't mean he's going to be well forever. And it doesn't even mean he's going to be in a good mood forever. Cinderella needs more than just the prince.
So that comes up here. It's right that your spouse is your best friend, and you're saying, oh, yes, that this is true, but now this is here comes the big tricky statement, that your spouse is not every or cannot fulfill everything that you need or is your be all and end all fulfillment. Is that what you're saying? That yes, your spouse is your spouse, but there are other sources of engagement that you need to fulfill all of the other parts of yourself. So even though you have the spouse you've been with for 40 years, just the two of you by yourselves being the community for one another, you're saying potentially might not be enough.
Exactly. In other words, that can actually lead to loneliness down the road.
So we have, talked about this yesterday, and I know we have some callers on hold here, and just give us a second here because I want to parse this out before we jump into the callers. Kendra, you talked about yesterday when you and I had lunch together, this the golden dream, right? Because this is an interesting, in the context that we have here in Southeast Florida, are a lot of folks who come here to retire. It's a great place to retire. And so you talked about this, you painted this beautiful picture that you just referenced a bit here, that you have Tom and Nancy up in Northeast, the Northeast corridor of the United States. They're out in Massachusetts. They got friends. They have a church or a synagogue they're a part of. They have friends. They have a hairstylist. They have all these different people they hang out with. They got their family. And they say, you know what? I've been working my butt off and working my tail off. It's time for us to go down to sunny Florida. And we can go down there and get into a gated community, which we couldn't afford up here in Massachusetts. And there will be golfing. And I can now hang out and be in this community. And so they come down here with this great weather. And they get in the gated community. And then what happens? What can happen in this picture that might be surprising to this golden dream?
Well, what's so funny is I think that we don't really plan for how to retire successfully and in a healthy way. We do spend a lot of time, energy, and there's a lot of focus on how to build up enough money and investments to take care of us as we age. But we don't really think about what are the factors that made us happy where we were. The fact that we had work, we had a community. Mm-hmm. It was just part of the picture, and we actually probably didn't pay a lot of attention to that. We just thought of it as a place to earn money. But it was also a place where we met people, where we met people for lunch. They were built into the system. Our neighbors, we knew. We'd gone to school with them, perhaps. We'd gone to PTA with them, perhaps. Whatever the circumstances, we knew all these people. We were connected to them. And we just think, oh, wouldn't it be great? We'll sell everything. We'll move to Florida. Look at the advertisements. We'll dance in the moonlight. We'll play golf and tennis, and it will all just be wonderful. But then we move, and probably and possibly to a community that is that contains people our age and older. And, of course, these people are not going to get more healthy.
Right.
So over time, some of our new friends are no longer with us. Perhaps we can't play golf anymore, as I mentioned earlier. Perhaps we can't play tennis anymore. Now we have less to talk about with these people, so we're less connected to them. And by the way, our kids don't live here either. Like, for example, my son lives in England. Our kids live all over the globe. Our friends have also moved. They don't live on the farm anymore either. So here we are in a new place with people who often go away for the summer. Mm. It's very difficult to create a social network and good, healthy connections in sunny Florida.
So this is the reason why Kendra Brown is Dr. Kendra Brown is not hurting for work as a psychologist. So unfortunately, she is a pretty, pretty busy therapist just because this is an issue. People are, because of this and because of the realities that Dr. Kendra is talking about, folks are looking and seeking for ways to be able to overcome these issues of social isolation and loss. I mean, and loneliness, just straight up loneliness. And so, and this is not even, you know, you talked about this, Dr. Kendra, is that so if you are alone and let's say, and I see this a lot as a priest, so I go to rehab centers, I go to elderly homes, and what I see are a lot of spouses who are by themselves because they're completely outlive their spouse. And I see this a lot with the women outlive the men. And so they are 15 years deep into without their spouse because he died. And so here they are, just by themselves, sometimes either at home or in an elderly home, just waiting, kind of waiting for God to call them home. And they seriously are just waiting. They're by themselves, right? And so we have now this a lot of folks who are just by themselves. And so if they're by themselves, you're mentioning, okay, so what can I do? I can get up and I can maybe start playing Sudoku. Or something, some games on the computer. You know, I got my iPad, and I can start engaging maybe with some online games or something like that. And so that's easy, right? And it distracts me, and I can start maybe doing that to, or maybe doing some online Scrabble, or I can, and then I turn on the TV and I can watch. And my health is not a great place where I can just go out and start playing golf with people. But you're saying that this. The more lonely we get and we think that we find these little band-aids, they're not really fulfilling us. And what we really need to do is go find some companionship. But loneliness begets more loneliness. And so if you are someone who's suffering from loneliness and social isolation, the key here is at a certain point, you got to get out, right? And that's duh. But the challenge is when you're in the midst of isolation and maybe the depression starts to come in, you start to lose some energy and you start to lose some inspiration and it becomes harder and harder to kind of break this cycle. And I'm just armchairing therapist here, so you're the professional, but am I right here?
I was just about to say, if you ever tire of being a priest, you could become a psychologist. You're doing a great job.
I'm just regurgitating everything you said yesterday.
Because when we are lonely, when we realize we are isolated, we become sad. We become anxious. We should be anxious. After all, there's no one there. If we might need them, we might fall. We might, after all, aging is a process. There are many, many changes. We might not have anyone to talk to about those changes. We might not have anyone to run our ideas by. Mm. And we're going to feel so fearful. And we should feel fearful because we're clueless. We don't know what to do. And we realize it at some level, although we may not associate it, that we know we're feeling anxious, we know we're feeling sad. We may not actually realize that that is because we are isolated. I recall a time in my life when I was particularly isolated and felt lonely, and I called my mother. And I'll never forget her voice. And she said, Kendra, you sound desperate. Mm. And I felt so humiliated. Mm. I thought, what is wrong with me? I should be handling this better. Well, I'm an individual. I'm self-reliant. I should be able to pull myself up by my bootstraps and take care of this situation. And mother's comment just made me feel worse about myself. Mm. So those people who are lonely and isolated and sad are feeling sometimes a loss of self-esteem as well. Mm. And, of course, they're robbed of energy. As you said, Christian, it's so easy to sit at home and watch television or go on any kinds of social media or even play video games. That's easy. It takes little effort, but it robs us of that potential that we really need. It robs us of those bonds that are going to make us feel better. It takes a lot of effort to get out there and meet other people, but we have to.
I have Dr. Kendra Brown here on A Priest and a Rabbi. If you just tuned in or recently tuned in, and keep in mind, too, if you've missed the first half of this program, that this is a podcast, so you can always go onto any of the podcast platforms, whether it's Apple or Google, and just type in A Priest and a Rabbi podcast so you can hear this. This is a fantastic show, and we are really it's such a privilege to have someone like Dr. Kendra Brown, because we're talking about a real live issue and epidemic that we have. And this is not only, we're not touching even upon the younger demographic. Today we're focusing just really more on the older demographic, but we can come back in a second show and talk about the younger demographic, as our producer Mike was alluding to, that even between the ages of 18 and 22, there have been studies that show that there are more folks who relate more with loneliness and isolation than those who are over 72. So before we go to break, I want to bring on, we've had a Francis who's been on the phone. Now, Francis is going to push back a little on this. Francis is 74, and he is not lonely at all. And so Francis, tell us about your situation.
God lives in my heart, and God is my best friend. God loves me, and God is always with me. And I get so much support from just being metaphysical and beyond my body and knowing that I also am a spiritual expression of God's love.
So I think Francis, you have, and thank you for calling in, Francis, you have a very good, healthy, awesome relationship with God, and there's a great communication you have with the higher power, which really helps you tremendously. Can you see how others, though, might not be in the same position as you are and be struggling with loneliness?
Yes, but the answer is don't separate yourself from God and have this relationship with God, and don't have the feeling that God is in heaven, because God lives in everyone's heart, and most people don't know it. So just open yourself up with appreciation and gratitude to realize there really are no problems, because as it says in one of the Psalms, though I travel through the valley of death or whatever, I fear no evil. This is the ultimate truth.
And
when you live in that, you know, there is no separation.
And Francis, do you think that or do you feel that your love of God leads you to other relationships with other people in community, because you seek God within them, and therefore it's that movement that you, in love you have for God, moves you into other relationships and community?
No, I don't seek that in anyone. I know it's there. Most of them don't know it, and they don't understand it the way I do. And I stopped going to religious services because there's a lot of people there singing songs and like looking for God in all the wrong places.
What about social organizations?
I don't golf. I don't dance. I don't go out to bars. I don't literally have to socialize much, because the only problem is if there's a separation from God, and I'm not separate from God.
Awesome.
So it's so simple. I mean, it's not out there. You're looking for God in all the wrong places. And there are no problems, because I am complete in myself with God.
Francis, thank you. Thank you so much, man. I always appreciate when you call. You're always a source of joy and great wisdom, and I appreciate you calling in, brother.
Amen, and bless everyone, because you are already blessed.
God bless you, brother. So, I mean, that is, you know, not everyone, though, is built like Francis, and many of us are really, even in our, you know, as a churchman and as a priest, I know that probably about 0.05% of priests are called into a monastic kind of life where it's just you and God, really. Or even if you want to be a nun and be a cloistered nun, but even nuns are living in a convent together in community. So Francis has a very it sounds like a healthy situation, but it might be very unique. So let's throw it a break. When we come back, we're gonna dig deeper. We got Dr. Kendra Brown here. We are talking about loneliness and isolation in the 21st century, and it is the epidemic that we're seeing across America. And we've really parsed it out so far, but now we're getting into, well, what do we do about this? what do we do about this? Whether it's a community of faith, where I'll obviously talk about the therapeutic aspect because Dr. Kendra Brown is a psychologist, and then simple practical ways that we can start to get below the surface and take on the situation we have before us and where is the opportunity for us. So you stick around here at A Priest and a Rabbi, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to A Priest and a Rabbi podcast. If you haven't done so yet, make sure to subscribe. And please leave a rating and a review, 5-star rating and a positive review if you can. We certainly appreciate it. That is the best way to make sure that others out there just like you can find this podcast. If you want to get in contact with Father Christian and Rabbi Durbin, you can do so by emailing apriestandarabbi@gmail.com. And the absolute best way to get a hold of the fellas is to call into the radio show. This podcast airs live on the radio every Friday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. on WSTU 1450. And you can listen live online at WSTU1450.com. And if you want to join the show, you can call in to 772-220-9788. That's 772-220-WSTU.
Hey, everyone. This is Father Christian here on A Priest and a Rabbi. So happy for you to be here on this podcast with us. And I want to let you know that I have started a YouTube channel called Your Favorite Christian, and you can check it out on YouTube. And every Monday, I drop a new episode, and it's always through the lens of faith, but taking on different topics such as dating, relationships, marriage, pop culture. I've done one recently where I went out to the art show and talked about how do we find our relationship with God through all the what all the latest artists are doing. Last week was what do women really want in a man, and interviewing different people to be a part of that. So please check that out on YouTube. Subscribe, like, share, put on the notification so you get that every Monday. I also want to let you know of this podcast wouldn't be here if it wasn't for a generous donor from St. Mary's Episcopal Church who wishes to remain anonymous. All he asked, though, was that the information gets out that St. Mary's Episcopal Church here in Stuart has a healing center. And so you can call if you're looking for a counselor, someone to be there for you during a challenging time. And you can call the church at 772-287-3244. We also have a group of Stephen ministers who have been trained over 50 hours of training to be with you and walk with you during a time of crisis. They are not counselors. They are trained just to be more of the presence of Christ and walk with you during a time of crisis, whether it's a good crisis of having, oh my gosh, my daughter's about to get married, or if there's something a little bit heavier. So give us a call, 772-287-3244, and I thank that anonymous donor who makes this all possible. All right, God bless you, and enjoy the rest of the podcast. Welcome back to A Priest and a Rabbi. Today we are out without our rabbi. I'm just a lonely priest, socially isolated from my rabbi. So today we're talking about isolation and loneliness, but I brought in a great friend, Dr. Kendra Brown, who is a psychologist here in Stuart, who is also an author. She has a terrific book called Eavesdropping. You can get it probably on Amazon. As a Real Women Talk About the Gifts and Challenges of Aging, many of her clients that she sees are because of this issue of feeling just lonely and isolated, especially women who are elderly and men. She sees everyone. But so that's what we're talking about today. The phone number here is 772-220-9788. If you are someone who, you know, you have some, you're thinking like, you know what? This is close to me, this topic, whether you've seen it in friends or family or just witnessed this here in Southeast Florida. Give us a call, and you got a therapist here, which normally is going to charge you a boatload of money, but you're going to get her free if you call in, 772-220-9788. And in the meantime, we are going to continue this conversation. So, Dr. Kendra, if someone is listening to this show or they're checking out the podcast later and they're saying, you know what, this is kind of hitting close to home, right? What's the next step? Because I'm assuming awareness, just awareness. You could be going through your life and not even aware that, you know what? I'm just pretty darn lonely.
Right. And I wanted to just reiterate some of the points I think were so well brought out by both of you guys, that loneliness is associated with very negative feelings. So if you're experiencing sadness, anxiety, depression, and you are isolated from important others, you're not by yourself in these responses. This is a typical, in a crazy kind of way, maybe it's even a healthy response, because if we were completely comfortable in being isolated and we didn't seek others, I mean, what kind of community would we have, right?
Right, right.
All right. If none of us needed other people.
That's a really good point, actually. Sorry to interrupt you, but that it's a great point that if we didn't have these negative responses, what would happen to our community at large? So this is a way, if you're feeling these negative emotions, I'll say this as a priest, God nudging you to say, hey, the way I created you was to be in community. I didn't create you to roll solo. There's, again, a very small fraction of our human population that's called to be isolated in caves and just pray all day. The rest of us, for either survival reasons or just for the power of love, are called to be in relationship. So if you're feeling these feelings, it could be startling, but also could be just God nudging you, saying, there's more. I got more for you.
And rather than feeling inadequate, as I did in the past when I called my mom for support, you can do something about it. But there's just one important point that we haven't mentioned yet, and I want to mention it for a future perhaps a future program for you guys. When I feel scared, I often know I'm feeling anxious because my immediate feeling is anger. I get angry. It's uncomfortable to feel sad. It's uncomfortable to feel anxious. And so I feel anger. And if we look at our teenagers today, and Christian was bringing up some facts I didn't know because I don't work with teenagers now, that a teenager feeling lonely, sad, and anxious may manifest that in anger. And we certainly know that's a problem in our schools today.
Yes, no, it is. And it's, I remember when Columbine first happened, if we're going to go to the way extreme of this, that I remember they listened to a certain artist, you know, a music artist that a lot of people blamed. Maybe that's the reason why they had these violent, this led to this violence. But they asked him, Marilyn Manson, and they asked him, I said, you know, if these kids would have come to you before they did the shooting, what would you have said to them? And he said, I would have listened to them because no one listened to them. No one engaged with them because they were so alone and they were so bullied in school. And so that idea, again, just the power of relationship, the power of listening to one another, the power of community, how healing it can be. And when we are isolated and alone, it can manifest into horrific things, but also can just also at an entry level, just sadness and loneliness, and also the health issues. So this is where the Surgeon General got involved. You know, this the statement was that it's worse than obesity, how badly it can affect the body. I know you're not a medical doctor, but can you speak to also the physical issues that if you don't do anything about it, which we're about to get to, but if you don't, the kind of effects it can have just upon your body?
Well, interestingly, after we met, and I was looking at some of the research from ARP and also from Mayo Clinic, I discovered a clear connection between chronic loneliness and cardiovascular risk. Mm. In particular, it's kind of interesting, isn't it? The heart literally aches. Mm. The heart becomes diseased without support. But I see a lot of times something more subtle in my practice, that when people are isolated and feeling lonely, and they're staying home, as you guys talked about, watching TV, just doing things that are right there in the house, they begin to focus on body changes. And so they've got an arm that doesn't feel well or a slight pain in the leg. And many of these people then seek a lot of medical care because they're very concerned about their body and their ability to take care of themselves. After all, to the degree they feel alone, that's a real thing to worry about.
Because you got all this time, too. So you're alone. You're by yourself. You have more time to think about your body and your health and obsess over it, where if you're out and have some friends and a part of an organization or a group, it's a real healthy and beautiful distraction. And also, from a biochemical standpoint, maybe, releases different chemicals in your brain as opposed to the ones that create more stress and tension and sadness. Again, I'm completely out of my department here.
Well, you're bringing up something right. When we experience fear, the body prepares us to run, to get away from whatever is after us. So if I'm in the jungle and there's a tiger after me, my brain is going to send all sorts of wonderful, amazing chemicals throughout my body to help me run faster, get away from the tiger. It's going to affect my digestive system, my heart, my lungs, everything, muscles. But if I don't have a tiger to run from, if it's just chronic loneliness, fear of not having someone there for me, not having anyone to talk to when I'm trying to figure out how to change, then I'm going to have those chemicals flooding through my body all the time. And there's really not going to be a release for that because if I'm running from a tiger, I'm using them. If I'm running from fear of being lonely, I'm not using them.
I got Dr. Kendra Brown here on A Priest and a Rabbi podcast. We're talking about loneliness and isolation in the 21st century. Yeah, the phone number here is 772-220-9788 for you to call in to talk about this epidemic here in the States, particularly with the elderly. We talked about the idea of now having these personal devices in our hands that can cause and be an instigator of loneliness, because instead of stepping outside your comfort zone and doing something that's a little more challenging, like getting involved with a community or with people next to you, we pour ourselves into these little devices that can do just about anything, and they can cover up any kind of anxiety or insecurity we have, because we can just pour forth into Twitter, into Facebook, or just searching the news feeds, right? That's a whole other radio program altogether. So, but let's spend the rest of this time saying, now, if maybe you identified it, you're in the midst of it, maybe you're someone who's 72, who's out there, who experienced the golden dream that Dr. Kendra was talking about. You left your home, you came out here, maybe your spouse passed away, or maybe you're just you're not married, your health has gotten into a place where you just can't jump out on the golf course or the tennis courts, but you're still a human being, and you still want to find community, but you live in this gated community, so it's not like there's just neighbors walking all over the place. Dr. Kendra, what are some of the ways you personally start to, I know each case is different, but you start to work with folks who are trying to get out of this funk and realize that, wow, I do have a lifestyle that just produces more loneliness.
Well, I have several suggestions. First of all, I attempt to get them to volunteer. I'm going to talk a little more about that. I encourage them to join a gym or fitness group. I encourage them to take a class at a local university, or an art class, or a garden class. There are classes in the community that a person can attend, and go to a church or synagogue. Now, each one of those will be helpful. Not can be, will be helpful. It's easier for some of us who are extroverts to do some of these things, but it's necessary for all of us. So let's start with a volunteer. I started out telling clients years ago, you need to volunteer, you need to volunteer. And I had an image in my mind. What would it be like in Martin County, in Stewart, if half the retired people here volunteered? Oh my gosh. The children in our schools would all read. I mean, that would just be one result. I mean, there would be so many amazing things in this place. But I understand that not everyone thinks that's the greatest thing, and some of my clients would immediately say, oh, I did that up north. Well, that's good. But remember, you need to do this for yourself. You're gaining this better support system by volunteering. If I go out, I'm very extroverted. So if I go to you can talk to my husband about this, If I go to a restaurant or almost anywhere, people stop and talk to me. And I might be able to make a friend there. And maybe I meet that friend for coffee. And that might turn into a friendship. But then my friend might go away for the summer or become ill. And all at once, I'm without my support system again. But if I go to a larger organization, oh, there is a whole potential there for friends. So I really encourage people, number one, volunteer. Okay, the second thing I discovered about volunteering was that people often pick a spot that doesn't work for them. So they volunteer, oh, let's just say, at a hospital. And then they discover they don't like being in a hospital. So I say to my clients, then you write a note or you meet with the person who's head of volunteers and say, thank you. Thank you for letting me come here. It doesn't work for me. I wish you well. And then you go out and find a different place to volunteer. Because what we're looking for is we're looking for something that feeds you, that gives you nurturing and support. So it's got to be something that you're excited about and interested in. So I know that even when you are trying to volunteer, this is from experience with my clients, sometimes you run into red tape, sometimes you don't get phone calls back, and it can be discouraging. I discovered that there is a person here in Martin County. Her name is Kathleen Stacy. Kathleen Stacy. She's the volunteer coordinator at the United Way. And you can call her at 772-283-4800. So that's Kathleen Stacy at the United Way, 283-4800. And she can help you find a placement. And that will help a lot of, get rid of a lot of the problems that occur, the obstacles.
She can cut through the red tape, and she knows the places that are just receiving people and are open to receiving people and are actively receiving people, as opposed to, like you said, you get the courage, you're finally going to do it. I listen to Dr. Kendra, I'm going to call that place to volunteer, and then you call and you don't get a response. Maybe you get the courage to call again and you don't get a response, and you say, well, forget it. I tried. It's almost like dating, you know. I tried, I did it. I gave him a call, he didn't call back. Okay, I'll do it again. And forget it. All men are horrible. I'm never dating again. But that now you're back to square one, right? And so that's great that you've given us a resource here. And then outside of Martin County, I'm sure there's, you know, you find the big boys sometimes can really like the Salvation Armies. The ones that have a lot of tentacles into the community can put you, are always looking for a band of volunteers. And then, of course, as a priest, I would say, you know, every house of worship, whether it's Jewish or Muslim or Christian, it's bred by not the paid staff, but by the volunteers, the laity. And so that is, you call any church, you can call St. Mary's Episcopal Church right now and tell us what your skills are, what your passions are, and I'm sure we can find a way where you could join the team. But that is key, though. It's like, again, it's like dating. That I've had, you know, single women come to me and say, I can't find a good guy. I'm like, well, where are you hanging out? Where are you going? And are you going and being part of communities that reflect your own passions and your own value system? So you'll meet a guy who is also, you at least know you're on the same page. So I want a good Christian guy. Okay. Well, but I don't want to date a guy in my own church, but okay, I understand that. But are you going to go over to the other churches and hang out maybe at their social hours? Because if you got to do something and hang out in a Christian community somewhere. Same thing here. Is if you're a volunteer, find the places you're passionate about, whether if it's ecology, if it's agriculture, if it's art. There's plenty of opportunities. So when you now you also talked about the gym. What if you're really in a place physically, though, where you can't golf and play tennis? Or you're still saying, still get out there, because there's, like, just at least here in Martin County, it seems like there's a plethora of classes for everyone, wherever they're at in their physical status.
Absolutely. And I refer again to Mayo Clinic, and they published a lot of wonderful books, but one of them talked about the very best cure for depression actually turns out to be, even beyond therapy, walking. So physical fitness is hugely important for emotional and physical health. And just as you mentioned, joining a gym or fitness group, again, thinking about which one works for you. When I first came to Stuart, I was looking for a gym, and I visited quite a few of them, and I just didn't feel like I fit there. So I found a gym where the people were senior, a lot of them at the time I could go, were senior citizens. They weren't dressed in amazing gym outfits. They were kind of, you know, sweaty and dirty looking.
Maybe not dirty. $200 on their gym outfit?
That's right.
Okay.
And they just looked like real people. And interestingly enough,
they look like real
people. Yeah. No. Well, anyway.
Right.
So
they weren't in the Lululemon and, you know, and the big, you know, meathead shirts. I got it.
All right. You got me. So I joined a gym, and this particular one, after people exercised, they had a coffee pot, which people would go and get a cup of coffee and sit around and talk. And I absolutely loved it. This group, I didn't know their last names even. It was almost like going to an AA meeting or Al-Anon meeting.
Sure.
And we would sit and have coffee and talk about whatever. And it was a wonderful experience. And I found a community there. In fact, I found a husband there.
Wait. Hold up. Okay. So here we go. Case in point. You got out of, you went to a gym first. You didn't like it. Maybe checked out another gym. Wasn't for you. You didn't give up and say, forget it. All the gyms here in this area are just a bunch of meatheads. This is not for me. You kept on searching. So you kept at it. And you found the gym that was right for you. You found a community. And then you what?
Right. I met a really nice, wonderful man.
Stop your lying. So the what was his approach? Like, he's like, so you doing biceps today? Or what was it? Working on lats? Or it was just simpler? It was just like, hey, you want some coffee?
It was more like, hey, you want some coffee.
But case in point, you know? But it wasn't just this easy thing that just happened. Like, oh, I just went out to a gym and went there, started working out, and I met a husband. You had to try multiple times, and I'm sure you're an extrovert, so it's a little bit easier. So for someone who's an introvert, this is not going to be as easy. However, this gym that you found, this environment that you sought, created this landscape for people to intermingle and to get to know one another. So finding the right place to keep on swinging, right? It's like dating. If you go on you might go on 15 bad dates before you meet the right person, but you keep on swinging, you keep on getting out there. This is key. This is key even just for creating friendships and creating community. So this is great. So you met your husband there and on that, well, amen, sister. That's wonderful. And he's a great guy. So tell us then also, one more practical thing here. You talked about classes, all right? So classes, are you talking about at local universities? Are you talking about special classes just for more folks who are elderly? So you're looking at the community center. What are we looking at?
Of course, there is the Kane Center, and a lot of people do enjoy going there. We do have our local universities. There are classes anyone can take, and you will certainly meet people there. There are special classes that a person can take. You just got to look them up. But then there are classes going on in art studios. There's the Elliott Museum. There are garden classes that a person can go to.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can mention one, but there are some nurseries, local nurseries, who have garden classes. And they have a whole brochure on their classes. And I like what you said, Christian, about if you need to look for the environment that fits you, because within that environment, you will find people who are like-minded. So it will be easier, even for an introvert, to find people to be with one-on-one, to have that support system. I remember once going to the Treasure Coast Wildlife Hospital, and it happened to be on a Saturday. And they were having a birthday party for one of the staff members. And it particularly resonated with me because if I were retired and volunteering, that would be a place I would want to go. I love animals. And, of course, if you went there and you volunteered, someday somebody would give you a birthday party. So you would have a lovely addition to your support system built in to what you're volunteering with.
Yeah, and as a priest, we always try to reflect on, are we helping build community, or are we helping more build exclusivity? Because sometimes churches or houses of worship, temples, can become a place that can seem very cliquish. And that when guests come in, do they feel this welcome? So if you are an introvert and you are feeling lonely, and you're just like, you know, I want to be part of a community, and I also want to explore my relationship with the higher power. When you walk into, let's say, St. Mary's Episcopal Church, do you feel that invitation? And are people coming up to you and saying hi and making it easier for you and coming up to you? Again, if you are not an extrovert, sometimes walking into a church or a synagogue can be very challenging because you're all alone. You're in that back pew, and if no one comes up to you, you can just walk in and walk out by yourself. And that's not me. You got the God part, but we all know that we find God within one another. So and share God with one another, and that's where the love. That's what Jesus, you know, from a Christian perspective, it's if it ain't about love, it ain't about Jesus, right? So it's. Hopefully, and I pray that, and I know we can always get better at this at St. Mary's, is, and I'm always trying to check in with guests to say, what was it like when you first walked in? And knowing that it's always, we're all greeters, and to welcome people, because for the introvert, and in the case of today's show, someone maybe who has been alone by themselves, who's starting to feel very lonely, who's in the midst of maybe some depression, it was a big challenge for them just to get there. And to walk in and get the courage to walk into this building with this community that everyone knows each other. I'm an extrovert, and I feel that sometimes when I'm on the road and I go to churches. That's tough. So my prayer and my hope is that every house of worship is just the first thing. It's just that hospitality and an invitation.
You were reminding me of one more memory. I was in graduate school in Memphis. And talk about a place where you can be isolated because you're studying, you're doing research, you're in the psychology building till wee hours of the morning. You're not given the time to go out and create a support network other than your small graduate group. And so I have always sung in choirs, so I went to the Episcopal Church, and I sang in the choir, and I sang in the choir every Sunday for quite a while. And no one invited me for coffee afterwards, and no one really invited me to anything. And I decided I didn't want to go back. And I was without that support that I was so hoping for. A friend of mine said, I want you to go with me to my church. And he took me to a church on Beale Street, a Catholic church, St. Pat's Cathedral on Beale Street. And there I found the most amazing faith community. I could not believe those people. And I felt supported and loved by them. I'm not Catholic. I didn't say I was Catholic. And the fun thing or wonderful thing that happened after I left Memphis, and now I'm in Tampa on internship, I got a phone call. I answered the phone. You don't know me, but St. Pat's sent me. I'm here to take you to church.
Wow, what a community. What a community. When we do it right, when we get down this community, and this is, so perhaps you're listening to this radio show and you're not the one who's lonely. You've got a good community. You've got good people around you. Maybe you're more extroverted. You grew up in this area. Great. But now, how do you leverage that to be able to reach out and to be aware of there is a plethora of people in our community who are struggling with loneliness or isolation. So how are you the person who's going to invite, who's going to welcome, who's going to connect folks to wherever they need to be? Because it's really, that's what we do. This is why God puts us on this earth. It is about love. It's about awareness. It's about this interdependence. We are not bred to be these individualists, and this is going to be countercultural to us as Americans because we are bred upon this rugged individualism, which has some benefits. But there's also this communalism that we can all get better at. So if you're the one who's not, I encourage you to really be aware of those people, whether in your building, at work, in your neighborhood, who might be alone, and surprise them. Give them a knock on the door, check in with them. If it's a family member, to make sure you give them a call, you reach out to them, especially if you got grandparents that you know are alone. Do not let that day go by without reaching out to them, and put it on your calendar to call, to write a letter, because I'm telling you, this what it does, the power of love is healing, and it's needed more and more and more as we get more individualized and lonely. So Dr. Kendra, we are just so grateful, we being Mike and I, right, Miggity Mike?
100% correct.
Yeah, he's been talking way too much this show. So, Dr. Kendra, I know you got a full slate of clients, but if people need to reach out to you, how can they find you? And if you can't help them, I'm sure you got a bunch of other people you can refer them to. How do they find you?
They call my office, and 781-8724. I think that's right. And I don't call myself very much, but we do have a wonderful person there. A very loving person named Joyce, and she loves to refer people to others. So she'll find you someone.
So her book, again, of course, is Eavesdropping, As Real Women Talk About the Gifts and Challenges of Aging. You can find this on Amazon, I presume?
It is on Amazon.
It's a pro-aging message. So God bless you all out there. If you want to find a community, jump on. Also, you can follow my vlog at Your Favorite Christian on YouTube. We got a great community there. We talk and discuss. We're at 14,000 subscribers now. In the meantime, God bless you. Love on one another. We'll see you next Friday.